a lamp into my feet and a light unto my path.
Today's scripture reading is from Revelation 20, 11 through 13. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works.
Morning. All the children are dismissed. 2 to 5 to their classes. Now, when I woke up this morning, the first thing I did was I went on Facebook on my phone, and this is what I post. I was asked to preach today in the AM. My first time, butterflies are flying. So as I was driving here, when I came here, I looked at it. Whoa, there were so many comments, and it was funny because I never expect that much people to comment on it. And you know, everybody was saying, you know, you do a good job, and Auntie was saying proud of you and stuff like that. Yeah. But there was one of them that kind of got my attention. And this was from one of my friends. I never thought he would comment on it. But it says, after I said, I got butterflies. That's my first time. It says, take a bottle of water up with you. And if you feel like you're going to freeze up, just pause and take a drink of water and collect all your thoughts. So as I was thinking about that, I was like, I thought people drank water because their throat, you know, throat sore. But then I came to think about it, you know, I went through some postal classes a couple weeks ago, and then this one guy that was training, he kept on drinking the water every minute, and he did look nervous. So you can tell Uncle Ben's not nervous because he doesn't use a water bottle. Yeah? But then I don't have a water bottle, so I was looking all around but never have. Thank you, Uncle Ben, for this opportunity and thinking that I can do it. When he asked me, it was like I was trying to, I'm not sure, but, you know, in my heart, I just knew that I had to, you know, at least try. Yeah. So today's lesson, is it too loud? A little bit. Today's lesson is, I'm going to talk about Judgment Day. Not such a popular subject, but it's actually been on my heart for a while. At work, I've been talking to some coworkers about it, and I just thought I put together a few thoughts about it. Judgment Day. I'd like to encourage you guys to grab your Bibles and use it. I'm going to go pretty fast through the scriptures, but it's important that we always look in the Bible, especially when somebody's talking up here. I mean, don't take my word for it. Take the Bible's word, yeah, for it. Huh? The worst thing that can happen is, you know, if somebody tells you turn to the Bible and nobody turns their pages. And let's do that right now. Turn to John 3:16, but don't turn it. Everybody turn to John 3:16. It's pretty quiet, huh? But now everybody turn to John 3:16. You should hear, really, turn your Bibles. See, that's a good sound. And that's, you know, you gotta always look through your Bible. Hey. So if I freeze up, you guys know that. What the reason is. Thanks. Okay, so Judgment Day. The question I want to ask is, are you ready? Are you ready? The goal of this lesson, and I think of any lesson, is we got to look forward to that day. And after every lesson, we got to make the necessary changes we need so that we can, on that final day, we can enter into God for eternity. So let's talk about that day. You know, the events of that first day. Yeah? When is that going to happen? In fact, let's get this out of the way first. When is God, Jesus, coming? And we all know the answer, but we'll get that scripture after. But I typed it up, and I found out that there were 249 different predictions of the end of the world since Christ died. And I want to just read you guys some of them. It's not too important, because the important thing is, you know, we live the right life, yeah? But it was just kind of funny of all these different types of beliefs that people thought Christ was going to come in that year. It started with the Thessalonians in 53 AD, because the scriptures were saying he's coming, right? They thought he was going to come right there. So that was actually the first one that they thought. A rabbi in 435 AD predicted that Jesus was going to come 365 years after the temple was destroyed. I'm not too sure how he got that. In 500 AD, this guy predicted the return of Christ based on the dimensions of the ark. I'm not sure. I never went too deep in that, but I just found that weird. 1000 AD was a day that people thought Jesus was going to come. And in 1999, everybody was on their best behavior. Worldly goods were being sold. Pilgrims headed to the east to go to Jerusalem. Buildings were left unrepaired. Crops were left planted. Criminals were set free from jails. And then 1000 AD came and nothing happened. Yeah. 1533, 1666, because 666, somebody, there's a big thing. Jesus is going to come back. Let's go over 1914. You guys heard of the Watchtower Jehovah's Witness, yeah? They predicted a lot of dates. I got over here about 20 different dates in the early 1900s. In 1977, there was something. I wasn't alive. So if you guys were alive, you guys might have known this. It's called the Killer Bee Scare. Anybody heard of that in the 70s? Somebody said something about the killer bees in Texas. That was a sign of that Jesus was going to come back. In 81, this is when I was born. Another prediction. 82, 88, 1990s, David Koresh. You guys remember that, huh? He said that in 1995, Jesus, I guess he thought he was Jesus, but then another Jesus was going to come back. And from 1991 all the way up to 2000, every year there was some kind of prediction that the world was going to end. And the famous one, you know, especially this past year, everybody heard it, May 21st. And then you've seen the guy on TV, and he's going to predict everybody was getting all, you know, people who didn't believe was getting all worried. And then it didn't happen. And then what happened? He said he miscalculated, yeah? Supposed to be October now, yeah? Supposed to be next in 2 months. And then the famous one is, you guys seen the movie, 2012. Supposed to be, that is like the biggest one right now on the internet. It's pretty sad, yeah? I mean, to see that a man is doing this kind of false predictions, yeah? But we know in Matthew 24:36, you guys all know this verse. It says, we do not know that day or the hour. Not even the angels know, and not even Jesus knows. So the first thing that's going to happen on that day, I got over here. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, there's going to be a trumpet sound. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. In 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, it says, he will come in the twinkling of an eye. You know, a blink of an eye is 1/50th of a second. I mean, I just kind of found that interesting. But Jesus is going to come. I don't know if twinkling is faster, but that's pretty fast. That means he's going to come without warning. Yeah? In Revelation 1:7, it says, every eye will see him. And that, to me, I always thought about that since I was young. Wow, everybody's going to see him at one time. That's pretty amazing. Same guy is going to see him in Kailua and Kalihi. I mean, the mountains is right there, but we're all going to see him. All going to see him one time. The judge will appear. Matthew 25:31-32 says, when the Son of Man comes in glory, and with all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one another as he separates the sheep and the goats. And then The dead in Christ will rise first. We found that in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. I know I'm going kind of fast, but it's good to actually write it down too if you can't. Or just take one of the scriptures that I go, because I have a few on each point. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet him in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. John chapter 5, 28 to 29. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, but those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. So after this scene, after the dead in Christ will rise, after if we are faithful, we get caught up with him in the air, then this will happen. The earth and the works and everything will be burnt up. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 7, 10, and 11. It says, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of lives we have to live? We have to live godly and holy lives, looking forward to the day and speed its coming. And that day will bring about the destructions of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in heat. I don't know if you guys seen the tsunami and you watched that wave. Yeah? That was pretty, that feeling inside you, that was horrific, yeah, to see that destruction. Even the Indonesia one, that one was pretty great. If you look at all the CNN, not CNN, but on Discovery Channel, they have all these videos. Man, it's eerie. It's great destruction. But then this day will even be more, we can't even imagine what it would be. And after that happens, we all appear before our Creator. Jesus spoke of the day when he walked on men. He said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account, therefore, on the day of judgment. It's Matthew 12:36. In John 12:48, he says, he that rejected me have not received my words, he had judged him. The word that I spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Romans 2:16 says he would judge the secrets of men. Jesus spoke of a day of judgment on the last day. He said that two kinds of words were important. Two words. What we say, what we're going to say on that day, and what he said. Two things that are important. We will be judged by his words and our words. This means that we need to pay our close attention to what the Bible says. We need to know our Bible. But how can we be sure that there will be a judgment? I want to go over that. We can be sure because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. In Acts 17:30-31, it says, God commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day which he will judge the world by the righteousness by his Son who he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance to him by raising him from the dead. That's the proof that there will be a judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So we can be sure that not only us will be here, that everybody will be there on that day. I went to Google. I don't know how accurate Google is, but I think it's pretty good. I typed in, how many people was to ever walked on this earth? Like right now, we got about, 6-7 billion that's living. But the question that I had is, how much people lived from the beginning until now? I had some wrong answers. I already knew, like, when they talked about 700 million BC, I already skipped those ones. But I found this one. It says 9,610,000,000,000 people lived on this earth from the beginning. And I don't know how accurate that is. But the point is that there's going to be a lot of people on that final day being judged. And I don't think we got to wait in line. I mean, we think, oh, we'll wait in line? No. I think it's all going to happen. God's so powerful, everybody's going to be judged on that day. The high part of this judgment scene, the climax, is what Brother Mark read in Revelation. The books were open, yeah? And everyone was judged according to what was in this book. Here are some facts about that day. All of us must appear at the judgment. Fact number one. Number two, we must give an account. Every man, everybody in here will give an account. Romans 14:10-12, it says, "You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we all will stand before God's judgment seat. As it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess and acknowledge God." So then each of us will have to give an account to God. And you know, this judgment, this scene, this, if you can see a court scene, is not like what we think here, yeah? You guys seen all the TV shows, all the Judge Judy and all this. You watch the shows and, I mean, I probably watched it a couple times. You see these guys, they're lying. You can tell they're lying and they're trying to get away with it. All these courts on CNN, O.J. Simpson, all these big trials. And you can tell, right? These guys are lying. You know, you can tell that they're getting paid. You know, the more money you get, the better lawyer you can have, and the more things he can try to do, even though you might be guilty in your heart, to try to get you out of prison. I mean, it's not going to be like that. Everybody's going to be honest. God is the righteous judge, and there's no getting around anything. Yeah? Fact number three, we are to be judged by how we compare to this. John 12:48 says, "There is a judge from whom rejects me and who does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn him on the last day." You know, I was thinking about these questions on the past couple weeks, and this is my opinion, but I thought of these questions according to what I read in the Bible. And I was thinking, if I was at the judgment seat right now, what kind of questions are going to be asked? I think God's going to ask some questions. I don't think it's just going to be come up there and it's all mind games. He's going to ask you something. And I came up with a few questions and some scriptures to back that up. The first one, I think this is the first question he's going to ask. Since everybody's going to be judged, Christians and non-Christians, this is the first question he's going to ask. Are you one of mine? Are you one of mine? 1 Peter 4:17-18 says, For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. If it begins with us, talking about Christians, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel? And if it's hard for a righteous man to be saved, what will be the outcome of the ungodly and the sinner? Are you one of mine? If you answer that question, it's either he's going to ask you the next questions or that's it. You know, you don't want to say no. According to the Bible, if you say no, that means you don't know him. Yeah. Second question he's going to ask. Remember, this is my opinion. I'm just thinking about that day. Did you follow the pattern that I laid out for you? Did you follow the pattern I laid out for the church? Worship. Did you do all those things? Third question. Did you strive to learn and grow more each and every day? 2 Peter 1:4-6 talks about how you add to all your fruits. It says, I'm going to jump to verse 5. It says, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness." Every day, we got to add and grow more. Next week, we got to be better than what we was last week. Fourth question, did you use the talents I gave you for me? I got that from the parable of the talents. You guys know the story, right? The master gave the talents. I think it was 5. Forgive me if I'm wrong. It's 10, 5, and 1, I think. But then the two guys, right, the master went away. They produced their talents. But the other guy never do them. He didn't hide them. He hid his talent. He never used his talent. And then after that, he got in trouble, yeah? Mario, did you use the talents I gave you? Another question he might ask, and this is according to Matthew 25, because the whole chapter is about that. Did you feed the hungry? Did you clothe the you know, people that needed clothes, or did you visit the sick? The whole chapter is talking about that. You know, when did you, you know? He might ask that question. Did you serve others? 1 Peter 4:10 talks about we got to serve others. And this one, I think, is probably the most important question he might ask up there. And this, well, actually, I got two most important questions. So the first most important question is, did you tell others about me? I think he's going to ask that question. And it's so obvious that in the scriptures, we need to tell others about him. Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33, it says, if you confess my name before men, I will confess you before God on that judgment day. Did you tell others about me? Very important, guys. Very important, because that's why we're created. That's why we're here today, to go and tell others. In the way we live our lives, you know, we can do it your example. And straight up telling others. You know, Adam, did you hear about Jesus? You know, did you hear that, you know, about eternal life? I'm getting it. You want to share that with somebody. And to top it all off, this might be the ultimate question. Did you do everything in love? Because in 1 Corinthians, we know that chapter, the love chapter, says, you know, without love, nothing, you can do anything. You can come to church, you can worship, you can tell others about me, but if you don't have love, it's for nothing. You know, there's a lot of, we can go on and on with questions that might be asked. But it's good that we do this every day so that we can kind of like check ourselves, watch how we're walking. Yeah? And I've been thinking about these questions because that day is a really important day if you think about it. That's the reason why we're here, is for that day, right? We're here because we want to be with God. And before we be with God, we got to get through that day first. We have to get through that day. So asking these questions in your daily lives, I think it will help you, you know, help you get better, help you grow. The fourth fact, after all the judgment is said and done, you did your account, eternal sentence will be announced. Turn your Bible to Matthew 25. I'm going to read a few verses. Matthew 25, 31 to 34. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory with all the angels, he'll sit on his throne in the heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as he separates the sheep and the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then he will say to those on his right, come, who are blessed, take your inheritance. The kingdom is prepared for you since the creation of the world. Wow, that's amazing. Since the beginning of time, it was already prepared for us. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger, and you invited me in. In verse 41, he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And in verse 46, it says, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So the first place, the place that we don't want to go, and hardly people talk about this, you know, you hardly talk about it in service too, but hell, place that we don't want to go. In Matthew, what we just read in verse 26, says that hell is eternal punishment. In Revelations 21:8, it says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all the liars will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So I look at all those things, cowardly and the unbelieving. Unbelieving is unbelieving. Cowardly to me is somebody who knows about it, somebody who knows what they had to do. And we don't want to be in that part of that list. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9, it says, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of Jesus. they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might. In Matthew 13:42, it says, they will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now the good place. We all know, to describe that bad place is, that's good enough. I don't want to go there. But the good place, let's talk about that. Matthew 25:26 says eternal life. We'll go to eternal life. You can turn your Bibles to Revelation. Revelation 21 and 22. I'm just going to skip over a few verses. Revelation 21 and 22. In verse 4 it says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, no crying, nor pain, for the old order of things have passed away. Verse 15. Actually, verse 15, I'm not going to read it all, but verse 15 through 21, it talks about the city. You know, that's all figurative. It's not all actual, yeah. It talks about all the rubies and all beautiful, you know, all this stuff. It talks about that. You can read that at another time. Verse 22, it says, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need sun nor moon to shine, for God gives all the light and glory. On that day, the gates will never be shut. There will be no more night there. Glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter in it, nor anyone who does what is shameful and deceitful. Only those who are found in the book of life. In chapter 22, it says, the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down in the middle of the street of the great city, on each side of the river, there stood the tree of life. In verse 3, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. We will see his face, and their name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night there. They will not need the light of the lamp or the sun, and we will reign with God forever. That's going to be an amazing day. I don't think we can even describe on what that day would be. Matthew 13:43, it says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Fact number 5 is we got to be ready. We have to be ready. Matthew chapter 25. Verses 1 through 13. You can all turn to there. Matthew 25. Talks about the parable of the 10 virgins. It says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but they did not take any oil. The wise ones, however, took oil in the jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going to go out. No, they replied, there might not be enough for both you and us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But when they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him and into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, brothers, keep watch, because you do not know when that day will come. You know, we get ready for all these important stuff here on earth, yeah? I got ready for this lesson, and man, I never prayed so much in my life. You know, and it was important. TJ asked me when I came, are you ready? I was like, I better be. I better be ready. Job interviews, huh? You guys get ready for that. That's very important that we get ready. We if we got to take a test, we study for the test. We don't just show up. I did this a couple times in my life. Mom, I'm sorry. Pearl Harbor test. I didn't study. I just went and I took the test. I wasn't ready. I never passed. Wedding day, yeah? Man, some people, stressing about it for 1-2 years, planning their weddings and getting ready, all the colors, all the Groomsmen, I just think of my cousin's wedding because it had like 10 guys, 10 girls, and it was big. It took a long time for him to prepare for that. But this is far more important, you know. We need to be ready. We can't be caught with an unsuspected, you know, sight when he comes. I like to use this story. I think I used it before. Stephen. If Stephen pulled you over, Stephen's a policeman. If Stephen pulled you over and you were, or if any policeman pulled you over, and you were, he's like, why is he pulling me over? I got my seatbelt on. I'm driving a brand new car. I'm going the speed limit. My windows are not tinted. You know, everything is perfect, and he pulls you over. I'm going to feel pretty confident. Yeah, maybe he's just checking something, right? But if he pulled you over and you were on your cell phone, you never had your seatbelt on, you're driving fast, you would already know already, right? See that blue lights. You know already you're going to get a ticket. But if you know Stephen, let you slide. But yeah, I like to think of that story because, you know, we all got pulled over before, whether for what reason, yeah? In closing, I would like to ask you this question. How do you feel right now? How do you feel about that day? There's only three answers that you can have. It's either you're scared. You're scared because, you know, you just don't know about what the outcome is going to be. You're not sure. It's kind of like being scared. You don't know what. You're not sure because you know that I got to get rid of this in my life because if I don't, I'm not going to make it. Or the third feeling you can have is you're excited. Are you excited about that day? Are you, you know, it's like the wedding day, are you excited? Are you, you know, a trip coming up? Are you a football game? You know how we get excited? Are you excited about that day to meet your Creator? 2 Timothy 4:6-8, it says, and Paul, this is Paul before he died, it says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, and now is in store for me a crown of life, which will be given to me, and not only to me, this is the key, but for those who long for his appearing. That's in the NIV. I like that version. It says, for those who long for his appearing, those who long to see him coming in the clouds. However, you know, being excited does not mean you're safe. It does not mean that automatic you're excited, you're going to get into heaven. And that's because of this verse. And this verse, every time I read it, it's like, this is the worst thing that can happen to anybody here or even that day. Because if I'm doing something that I think it's right, and then I find out, oh, it wasn't the right thing, how do you feel? Yeah, oh, I missed it. Matthew 7:21-23, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who has done the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say on that day, and remember the number we talked about, 9,610,000,000,000. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons? Have we done? We've done all these works. We did all this. But then he'll say, go away, I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness, a work of iniquity. That is the worst thing that I can think that could happen to me. That I'm excited. I think I'm doing everything right. I love you, Lord. I'm teaching people. And then on that day, you know, we get it all wrong. And the reason is because we're not doing the exact will. You know, we're not, you know, there's so many different religions out there. So many, 3,000 different Christian beliefs. That's a lot. We need to know, brothers, what the will is. We need to study our Bible, you know, every day. That's important. Every day we live on this word. Every day we eat breakfast. Every day we eat lunch and dinner, right? Automatic. We got to feed on this word every day too. It's more important as the story of Mary. Remember Jesus came? I think it was Mary and Martha. And how, I think it was, forgive me if I'm wrong, I think Martha was preparing the food and she was getting all nervous. She wanted to prepare the meal for Jesus. But Mary was listening to Jesus. And then Mary told Martha, you know, he rebuked her. He said, Mary is doing the greater thing. And that was listening to the word of God. That was doing the word of God. And not, you know, the physical part, yeah, the food. So now if Jesus is going to be our judge and his words are going to be the standard or rule by how we are judged, it is very important, brothers, that we learn what his word are, what his word is. At this time, I'd like to offer the invitation. If you're not a Christian, remember that first question that I said, are you one of mine? If you're not a Christian, we want you to become one because Jesus and God made everything we see. I want to become a Christian because everything good is from him. I want to become a Christian because he already sent his son so that we can live with him one day. He already created the Garden of Eden and walked with them there. Until sin came, he had to make a plan. And God's plan is, this is what I believe, is for that Garden of Eden to be at the end. Garden of Eden, eternal life. It's both the same. God is going to walk with us, and he's going to be with us. And if you're a Christian, and if you're not so sure about how you're living, or you just, you know, there's certain things in your life you want to get rid of, you can come forward. You can come forward and let us know. And we can pray for you, and we can study with you, whatever you need. Or if you have something good, if you want to say a praise or anything good that you want to share, you can also come forward at this time as we stand and sing a song of invitation, He is Able.